wasn't ready to be no millionaire. I was ill prepared. I was prepared to be ill, though the skill was there. In the beginning, it wasn't about the ends. It was about busting raps and standing for something. Fucking acronym, cut the fucking act like you're happy. I'm fucking back again with another anthem. Why stop when it doesn't have to end? It ain't over till I say it's over. Enough when I say enough. Throw me to the wolves and close the gate up. I'm afraid of what'll happen to them wolves when the thought of being thrown into an alligator pit. I salivated it. Raiders up, hands up like it's 12 noon. Nah, homie, holding bitches straight up. Wave them to your dislocator, rotator cuff. Came up rough, came to ruffle feathers. Now egos, I ain't deflating. The last chance to make this whole stadium in rust. I'm so close to my goals, I can almost pole vault over the goalpost. And if I don't got enough in the tank, maybe I can just siphon enough to fill up this last can. Man, will I survive in this climate or what? They said I was washed up and got a bloodbath. I'm not a rapper, I'm an adapter. I can adjust, plus I can just walk up to a mic and just bust. So floor's open if you'd like to discuss. Top five in this motherfucker, and if I don't make the cut, what, like I give a fuck? I'ma light this bitch off like I'm driving a truck through the side of a pump. 0 to 60, hopping and gunning like G-Unit without the hyphen. I'm hyping them up. And if there should ever come a time when my life's in a rut, and I look like I might just give up, it might have been stuck. Me for bowing out, I ain't taking a bow. I'm stabbing myself with a fucking knife in the gut while I'm wiping my butt, cause I just shit it on the mic and I like getting cut. I get excited at the sight of my blood. You're in a fight with a nut, cause I'ma fight till I die. I win. Biting the dust, it'll just make me angrier. Wait, let me remind you of what got me this far. Picture me quitting, I draw a circle around it and put a line to it, smut. It's survival or what? It's what you eat, sleep, piss, and shit. Live, breathe, your whole existence just consists of this. Refuse to quit, fuse is lit, can't defuse the wick. I don't do this music shit, I lose my shit. Ain't got shit to lose, it's the moment of truth. It's all I know how to do. As soon as I get thrown in the booth, I spit. But my respect is overdue, I'm showing you the flow. No one do, cause I don't know no diploma for school. I quit, so there's nothing for me to fall back on. I know no other trade, so you better trade your fucking mics in for some toolboxes. Cause you'll never take my pride from me. It'll have to be pride from me, so pull out your pliers and your screwdrivers. But I want you to doubt me, I don't want you to believe. Cause this is something that I must use to succeed. And if you don't like me, then fuck you. Self-esteem must be fucking shooting through the roof. Cause trust me, my skin is too thick and bulletproof to touch me. I can see why the fuck I disgust you. I must be allergic to failure, cause every time I come close to it, I just sneeze. But I just go 1, 2, then I cheese.
This is JT from Spitballing with JT here with a special guest today, Katie Manzella from the world famous Comedy Store. She's also done bits all over the US and the globe, I guess.
I don't even have a passport, so.
So not the globe yet. We got to get her up to Canada to get us laughing up there. She's also been profiled in Vice magazine recently, and she just got back from New York, and we're going to touch on all of that. She's also a part of the Ding Dong Show at the Comedy Store every Monday night at 10. And actually, I think it's a little bit later than that that it starts, but they tell people to show up at 10. Any more credits that I'm missing?
I produce a show once a month in Echo Park. The Indigo Children Comedy Hour.
Yes.
With my friend Lauren Brenner.
Yes, classy Lauren B on Twitter.
Yeah, and we have a little web series called Indigo Children, and season 2 will be out soon.
Yeah, well, I remember you being on a Death Squad podcast with Lauren, and that's how I first was introduced to you.
Yeah, we did the Naughty Show.
Yeah, with Sam Tripoli and Vicky Pezza and Gareth, I believe, might have been there at the time. I know he does it now, but... So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got started in comedy.
Well, how I got started in comedy, I was on my way back from Vegas, and one of my friends I went to Vegas with was like, when we get back to LA, we're turning you into a stand-up comedian, because I just like was always like drunk and like putting on like a spectacle for my friends, you know? Like, that's what I just put on. I was just always up to whatever the fuck I do. And so that happened, and then like a few days after we got back, I was at a bar, and this guy was like hitting on me, and I like whatever I was saying to him caught this other guy's attention, because he came up to me and he's like, "Hey, I overheard what you were saying and you're really funny, you should come do this open mic." And I was like, all right. And so I go to this open mic, and like 30 of my friends show up, because like everyone just wants to see what's gonna happen. And then I like did like 17 minutes of just like insanity, and
that's a long open mic.
Yeah, the little girl who like whose open mic it was kind of just like let me go on and on, because I had so many people that I basically like brought a show, like I brought an audience to an open mic, like 30 people. I can't even get 30 of my friends to come see an actual show of mine. So like that was like, you know, pretty cool support. And then I killed it.
Nice.
I mean, it was crazy, and I don't even know what I said, but like I was definitely, and the girl who's open mic it was came up to me afterwards. She's like, "You need to take your funny seriously and maybe like not drink a bottle of Jack Daniels before you perform." So, I mean, that's how I got into comedy. I was like a party girl, and I am a party girl, but I'm also like, you know, kind of become a lot more conscious of my lifestyle lately, and so I'm a lot healthier. I'm a certified crystal alchemist, so I work with healing crystals. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I've definitely changed my life, but, you know, I still drink and, you know, hallucinate and smoke weed, but I definitely, like, you know, eliminated a lot of the other things. Like, I used to, when I first started, I was, like, prescribed 60 milligrams of Adderall, so I was just, like, strung out, and I was like, but it was great, because I'd be, like, out, like, up all night in the comedy scene, like, here I am, you know, and, like... So definitely thank God for Adderall, because like I wouldn't be where I am today. So
I kind of have a similar route. They put me on Ritalin.
Yeah.
And that would fucking just sent me off kilter for a long, long, long time.
Yeah. And I used to be like a tweaker. So for my like shrink to prescribe like a former meth addict like Adderall was like a really smart decision, because obviously I didn't take it as prescribed, and I was already prescribed. Like, 5 milligrams of Adderall is like a party drug, and I was like on 60 milligrams. Like, if I like, thought, I had a dream about taking Adderall the other day, and like I was like, oh my god, like I woke up and I felt crazy. Like, it was weird. Like, it's, but I'm glad I'm off that, you know. No judgment if you take Adderall, but maybe you shouldn't, you know. Sorry, I'm a little high and hungover.
Oh, don't
and
worry.
I'm not really sorry about it. I just wanted to say that.
Glazed too, don't worry. With being profiled by Vice, how was that?
That was cool. The girl who wrote the article, I was working on Jenny McCarthy's pilot for her VH1 show, and so yeah, I mean, on set they were like, I mean, like this, the atmosphere of her show is like, it's a party. Mm-hmm. And so they were actually like serving us like lots of alcohol. And so, I mean, I was definitely a little drunk, you know? And so when I'm drunk, I have less of a sensor than I already do. So I just kind of said every imaginable dick joke that came to my mind, and forgetting that it was, you know, VH1. So the title of the Vice article is like, Katie Menzel's too real for cable TV, and I kind of am, think that's a huge compliment, because if I can't be on TV without saying fuck or pussy, I don't want to be on TV.
Exactly.
I don't want to live in that kind of world. So yeah, the girl, like, she like really like had her eye on me and just like, you know, just kept, I mean, we haven't kept in touch or anything, and like sometimes like she, you know, retweet one of my tweets on Twitter, but that's about it. And then like a few days before I went to New York, she like contacted me about like, do you have any weird stories or anything, and I sent her a few stories and she just picked one and kind of combined two of them, I guess. But sorry if I'm rambling.
it's a podcast.
But yeah, it's supposed to be like this, right? But yeah, so she, and then of course, like, when I got to New York, I like was at this party, and of course she was there, and I hadn't seen her, and of course I'd start talking to her again after like a year of like never talking to her or seeing her, and like, so that was cool. But you know, synchronicities of the universe. But yeah, I mean, it was just a crazy little story, and whatever, you know, just like...
Well, Vice is a pretty big site. How did you feel about, like, just even having even them mention you? It was probably...
I mean, yeah, of course, that's awesome, totally, yeah.
Because Vice has some pretty hectic shit, like their North Korea documentaries and all that fucked up shit that they do, and then they have, like... They do hallucination shit,
yeah,
and travel shit, craziness, where I think they had one guy hitchhike across China, like, the entire way, just hitchhiking, which is, I wouldn't fucking do in China. There's too many people getting, like, sliced up with machetes there.
Yeah.
There's one too many. There was a story in the fucking paper recently, guy's shopping with his wife or girlfriend, 5 hours at this mall, he ends up throwing himself off the top story of the mall and killing himself for having to sit there and shop for 5 hours. Like, that's how fucked up China is.
Wow.
So I wouldn't do anything that involves China right now. It's fucking bizarre. Being a comedian here in LA, what are the local clubs you got that you like to do?
Honestly, I'm like definitely not like a lot of comedians, because, like, you know, I like kind of prefer to perform at like shitty bars, and like I really do. I feel like last night I performed at like some shitty bar, but it was like so much fun, and the crowd, like, I mean, there's definitely bar shows where like people are like talking, but if you can get their fucking attention, like, that means something to me, and like I do, and like I really, like, I love not like going to the Laugh Factory and trying to make a point there, because they're gonna tell me pretty much don't say everything you're saying on stage, because it's, you know, a little risky, like,
I think Jamie's just a little overbearing.
Yeah, and like, you know, and it's like I've gone up at the potluck at the Comedy Store, and Tommy, the talent manager, pretty much just like, that was great, but don't say anything you said, because I'm a girl who talks about
everything,
sucking dick,
yeah,
to UFOs, to whatever, and it's like, you know, but I know that's like me maybe putting up a block, like, I can't do that, but it's like, I just prefer like doing comedy in like my own little way, like the, you know, like in weird random places, like,
definitely,
like I've gone to New Mexico and like performed at like random weird bars, and there's so, it's just so much fun, I feel so alive and like free there.
Have you performed in Roswell?
No, but I went to the UFO museum in Roswell.
Because I know you have some videos of UFOs up online.
Yeah, I
always retweet when you put one up. That's an awesome thing that you guys do. You and Lauren.
Yeah, I saw a UFO in Joshua Tree. It was awesome.
I think you guys were tripping on shrimp.
Oh, she wasn't with me. It was just me.
It was just you.
Oh, fuck yeah. I only see UFOs when I'm high on mushrooms. Yes, I was on shrooms. And it was really, I was just like, it was like when my high was like peaking, and I like, it was like, the guy I was with was like, look, what is that? And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, it was this like rainbow illuminated light like flying around the sky, and like, you know.
So you guys both saw it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't
and
a
so,
hallucination.
Yeah, no, I pulled out my camera and I was like, all right, okay. I'm gonna film this, and it's either gonna just be like nothing, or it's gonna. And so when I woke up the next day and found that like I wasn't like hallucinating
yeah.
it, but mind you, seeing it while I was hallucinating was fucking awesome. But like, it was also awesome while you're not hallucinating, and it's like, but it's funny because I put it up online and like people. Like write the meanest comments ever on UFO videos. I mean, people write mean comments online all the time. Like,
yeah,
that's like what people do for a living. I'm
crazy.
Sure. But I have the meanest comments. Like, are people like that's Saturn? And I'm like, Saturn doesn't fly around the sky illuminating all the colors of the rainbow. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's a government drone. I'm like, again, it's illuminating all the colors of the rainbow. Like, the government would not want that. It'd be like scary colors. Like, what are you talking about? Like. It's not a drone, it's a fucking UFO.
Yeah, I don't even think drones have like that warning like
yeah.
that airplanes have because the government doesn't want you knowing it's fucking there.
Yeah.
That makes absolutely no sense. Drones.
And like through my crystal, because I became a certified crystal alchemist after receiving like a lot of crystal healings myself, like going to this place called Aura Shop in Santa Monica. And so I kind of like, was able to access higher dimensions and like know how bendy reality is through that, and like on top of like using psychedelics as a tool to expand my mind further
yeah.
and like understand that like I come from, you know, another place, like I'm here on assignment to assist humanity and like
make them laugh,
you know, yeah, and bring light to this world, and like, you know, like that really trips people out and like people can't register with that, but I get it, like it's freaked me out a little at first to understand I'm from the Pleiadian realm, like, you know, and like, whoa, like, we live in a vast universe and we're not alone, like, that was, you know, but now I'm like, that's cool, like, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
So, so I definitely, like, feel like, I summoned that UFO in a way, because before, like, I took the shrooms, I did like a little blessing with them, I had my crystals, and I called upon whatever galactic beings would like to join me on this journey and experience. I would really love that, and they did, so.
There's a theory that Joe Rogan likes to proposite a little bit when talking about shrooms, that shrooms are from another planet, because they're the chemistry of a mushroom is like so resembles the human brain, and that when you take it, you're actually talking to another being through this like actual plant. And I fucking believe that. And the stoned ape theory in and of itself is just.
Oh yeah, that makes complete sense. I mean, the last time Lauren and I, well, not the last time, but one of the last times Lauren and I ate mushrooms was like almost a year ago. We were in Ojai, which is like the energy vortex of California. It's really magical, and like we went into like the fifth dimension. Like I saw like my first UFO like in this realm, like it came, but like we saw the entire sky filled with like the Galactic Federation of Light. Like we saw
holy
so many
shit.
UFOs that looked like a fucking UFO party in the sky, and it was, and we, but like no one else could see it because we traveled into another dimension. Like,
yeah.
It's so if you want to, like, people who just eat shrooms, like, let's see what happens. Like, that's cool, but you could also, like, set intentions and, like, you know,
yeah.
like, this is what I want to achieve from this experience, and you will. And, like, that's what's so beautiful about it. Like, we wanted to go to the fifth dimension, and we fucking did. And we saw so much, like, so much shit. Like, it was the best. Like,
would
confirmation
you ever
do
DMT?
That. We almost did it that night, but we were so high, and I've never eaten that many mushrooms in my life. I was so high. It was great. But yeah, of course, I just know that, like, those kinds of drugs come to you, like, in divine timing, like, when you're ready. Like, I didn't take an acid for almost, like, 2 years, and, like,
yeah.
last week, or when I was in New York, I, like, acid came back into my life, and I fucking had a great time. It was awesome,
yeah.
but I prefer, like, acid has like an edge to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you think it's done and it's fucking not. Like, you know? But with shrooms, I kind of feel, but I'm definitely willing to try all the hallucinogens. It's just like, I'm not rushing to it, I guess, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely something. Yeah, like I've looked into it, and like just to do ayahuasca. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
That would be awesome. But apparently you gotta do like a week cleanse, and then there's a tobacco cleanse,
oh.
which is like a brew of tobacco,
oh,
and you drink it, and you just continuously just purge, vomit, like
crazy. Oh, that sounds fun. Jeez.
After that, then the shaman will give you the ayahuasca, because then you're ready. You've cleansed your body of all the nasty shit in it, and then they think that, okay, but we're going to start you off here. And it's like 5 days of ceremonies, and every day it gets more intense and intense. And like the last day, you'll be able, because during the entire trip, I've heard Aubrey from On It, and he's goes by a Warrior Poet US on Twitter. He's done ayahuasca like several times, mm-hmm. and gone on Joe Rogan's podcast to talk about it. And he said that the first time he went in, he was freaking out because there were snakes and all this shit like coming at him. He said the snake like jumped into his body and was like ready to rip him apart. But after he got out of that, the shaman said, okay, next time you go in, this is what you're going to do. You're going to tell them, no, I have permission from such and such to do this, blah, 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 blah. And he goes in, and the snakes come at him again. And he says what the guy told him to say, and the snakes stop, look, and fucking turn into something fucking else. I was just like, that's crazy. Just to probably see the visuals of that would freak me the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I probably never want to do it again because I hate snakes that much. But it seems like it'd be just interesting in and of itself just to do it. I'm fully for fucking hallucinogens. I've never gotten to the next plane with shrooms. I even bought an ounce of shrooms once, ate half of them, started smoking some of them. I even tried to fucking
smoking?
Yes. There's a fucking rumor that if you get shroom smoke in your eye, you will go blind. That's fucking bullshit. I've done it. That's how fucking high I was. I was like, I'm gonna try pull the fucking Mythbusters right now and fucking get shroom smoke in my eye. Did it when I was in high school. And it did fuck all. It stung my eye a little bit, but that was it. I didn't go fucking blind. I have to wear glasses, but that was beforehand.
Yeah.
It had nothing to fucking do with it. But I've never been able to get past leaving here. I've always been stuck. I couldn't put it in my head, especially being, I guess, in high school. That again, your brain's not developed for that. The pineal gland isn't to its full fucking readiness with all that shit that it releases when you take shrooms. So for you to have experienced all that shit, that's amazing. Because I've struggled with hallucinogens where I can't. All I do is fucking laugh.
Oh yeah, I do
laugh
that too.
For fucking.
Yeah.
I laugh so fucking hard.
Well, that's fine. But you're on your own journey with shrooms.
Why does it always feel
laugh.
Like it's spinning?
You don't have to see UFOs. I mean, that's just what I'm into.
Oh
that,
yeah,
know.
So am I.
Okay.
I'm all down for the hallucinations.
All you have to do is ask, and they'll come. They're so nice about it.
The last time I did shrooms was with my buddy Mini Me. He passed when he was 21, which was like 6 years ago now. And we tripped so hard in my fucking basement that we were staring, watching Spike TV and whatever. We didn't get what the fuck was on TV, but we were laughing
yeah.
at it so hard. And I just remember me and him fucking laughing. That's like one of the best memories I have of that guy. Sweetest fucking dude you'd ever meet. Guy was born with a half a fucking, 25% of one kidney in Ireland. And they shipped him to Canada at 3 years old to go to Sick Kids in Toronto. And his mom gave him his kidney, but his mom was a fucking alcoholic.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they said, the kid, he's lucky if he makes it to 13. And he fucking, like, proved them all wrong by making it to fucking 21. But he had, like, a 50-year-old drunk woman's kidney in him at the time.
Oh.
Yeah. And he fucking drank, like, a fish, too, on
yeah.
top of it. So, like, to each his own, and we used to fuck around and have fun, but just never being able to get to that plateau of like the next level with shrooms has always been irritating for me.
Mm-hmm.
So with being part of the Ding Dong Show with Dawn, I've had Dawn on my podcast with Mary Jane, and they're both extremely intriguing characters.
Oh, yeah.
Dawn's a bit crazy on the crazy side. I caught his set last night at the Comedy Store. And it was interesting, to say the least. He scared away two gay guys.
Oh my god, Don. He's one of a kind. I love Don guys.
Yeah, Don at Simply Don 1, for those people to follow him on Twitter, he's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's like my Comedy Store dad. I mean, we've definitely, you know, over the past 3 years I've been doing this, I've definitely, you know, evolved. So when I was like younger, first on the Ding Dong shows, like I was like hammered, Adderall, just like, and so we'd butt heads a lot because, like, you know, but now we're at a point where I've, like, he sees the growth in me and, like, things are really, like,
yeah,
cool, and he's just been so supportive and, like, you know, but it's like doing the Ding Dong Show is, like, really, it's kind of a trip, you know? There's nothing like it, and that's what, like, intrigues me about it is, like, wow, like, okay, here I go. Like, that's just the type of person I am. Like I said, with my, like, the places I like to perform my comedy, I like to do things that, like, are off the path. Like,
yeah,
you know? And it's just been, like, showed me, like, my strength as, like, just in the moment, like, my comedic timing or, like, just being able, or it's also been, like, an emotional roller coaster where, like, you know, they have fucking the Armenian comedian driving me crazy and, like, saying a bunch of bullshit that I have to sit there and listen to, or I can interject and, like, tell them to shut the fuck up and, like, you know, or send them some love, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, some people don't understand, like, why I do it, but, like, that doesn't matter.
Some people don't understand that show.
Oh, it's, are you, so many people don't, that's why I love it, because people don't fucking get it, and that
exactly
makes it so much better when people don't, if people don't get it, or think it's weird, you're doing something right, like, that's, you know,
yeah,
like, people
yeah
are like, what is this, and it's like, fuck yeah, I'm, like, so happy, like, and of course, then you see the people that come up and do love it, and then we get people who are there every single week, like, that's, you know, that's a good sign, and then, and yeah, and it's just, but you know, some, and there's some shows that aren't that great, and that's just fucking life. Like,
yeah,
some shows aren't gonna be good, but some are gonna be amazing, and then
exactly
some are gonna be a mixture and whatever, but it's like, you know, it's
just working with all those characters has gotta
yeah
be, like, Schizo, in and of itself, his fucking performance last week.
Oh,
holy
God,
shit.
Schizo is just, yeah.
He's
great. I mean,
Boston.
he's like my favorite, but like he's also like so annoying. Sometimes I'm like, as soon as I like get to the Comedy Store on Monday night, it's like Katie, it's like Schizo, like hey, like, and it's just like he won't like, and I'm like clearly ignoring him this whole time. It's like, Jesus Christ, like, can I just enjoy my cigarette, Schizo?
What's with the not letting him smoke weed before the show?
It's just, you know, they have, it's just, I mean, it's probably a good thing, you know, he's already like, you know, he's definitely, his last trip was a one-way ticket to wherever the fuck he went. Like, he's definitely not there, so it's probably a good thing he doesn't get high before the show, but it's also, like, it's become, like, the thing. Like, Schizo can't get high before a show.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I mean. Like, that's been going on since, like, I was here at 420,
mm-hmm,
and I remember they wouldn't let him smoke then, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, an ongoing little prank, or
yeah,
not really, I don't know what the word is right now. Yeah, but it's definitely, like, you know, there was this girl, like, White Trash Amber, who used to be on the show, and, like, she was the worst. She was so annoying.
Yeah, there's been a few people who have dropped off
yeah
lately, like,
and
Aiko and Tuxedo.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
Tuxedo,
Aiko,
Tuxedo.
I think, just, like, had a lot going on, so, but I love Aiko. We still talk.
Yeah, well, I spoke to MJ last night, and she said she's got nothing but love for Aiko.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I love her.
It's not, it wasn't a smooth break, but it wasn't a bad one either.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I was back on the show. Yeah, she was. Never mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. Time. It's not even real.
Well, what time is it at?
It doesn't say.
What do you mean it doesn't say? Jesus, woman. Oh.
26.
What are you talking about? Sorry about that, everybody. I have to fucking.
I thought it like wasn't recording for a second.
So did I. That would have fucking sucked. But
yeah.
I pressed record before the cleaning lady was done, so I have to edit the fucking beginning of the video. Or I can leave it in now because I fucking mentioned it.
Yeah.
You guys could watch us eerily watch the cleaning lady.
Yeah, that
bed.
Was fun. Yeah. Just confirmed like how high I was. It was like, yeah.
That's another thing that is different from where I'm from. The compassion or the weed clubs here, or like the store fronts, are fucking everywhere.
Oh yeah.
In Toronto, there's a few here and there, but you gotta have like some. You have to know somebody to get in and all this.
So you
nonsense.
Just like kind of go through drug dealers more.
I'm lucky. I have my license in Canada, so I have a designated grower.
Okay.
And
I don't mean to say drug dealer because like that sounds like, but it's like, you know.
No, a street. You're talking about a street dealer.
Yeah.
No, I there's times where I'll like if a buddy of mine's got some like good weed that I haven't tried before, I'll pitch for an ounce or
yeah.
something.
So you have this like particular person who grows for you?
Yeah,
that's
his
awesome.
Name is Sam Malachi, and he's actually, have you ever seen that Lisa Ling documentary on marijuana, like Marijuana Inc., Marijuana Nation on National Geographic?
I've probably like watched a little bit of it, but.
Do you know who Mark Emery is? They call him the Prince of Pot.
Oh, yeah.
The DEA
yeah.
tried to arrest him for selling
seeds. I've
definitely
seen documentaries with him in it.
Yeah.
Sure. I just, like, am so terrible with names. What's his name? Mark?
Mark Emery.
Okay, Mark Emery.
Yeah. He's friends with Sam, and they. Lisa Ling went to Mark, and they're at his place in BC, and Mark's hitting, like, the bong and shit in front of Lisa. And they're like, I'm going to take you to a grow-op. And he takes him to the grow-op where I get my fucking weed from.
Awesome.
So it's just, I get to see, like, the plants. And they're fucking, like, it's at least 8 feet tall OG Kush.
Beautiful.
It's so fucking beautiful. And now the government's harassing Sam like a motherfucker.
I know.
And they won't fucking, he's got a store. He's trying to open up a straight marijuana clinic where you could go in, you could get diagnosed for a cold and get some cough drops that have medicinal marijuana in them. And nothing's treated with any like opiates, nothing. You can't, if you're on any of that shit, they don't even want you going to that clinic at all. And the landlord knows that this is what he's trying to fucking set up. And he needs a wheelchair ramp for people to access it with handicap. So they drew up plans for this shit, and they fucking, the guy denied them. So he had to draw up new plans. And it's now been 7 months where he's paying rent on a fucking building that he can't fucking use. And now the government of BC changed a law where his operation is in a rural place. And they said, well, we don't want people growing in rural or residential areas anymore. Only industrial areas. How are you supposed to take, like, 1,000-year-old plants? Like, each of them about a year, fucking, they've been sprouting that long because he's got the mothers, the clones, everything that's set up. And you're going to fucking make him try and transfer those to another building way far away. Chances are half his crop is gonna fucking die just from that, just the shock alone from getting moved like that. And they're not willing to compensate him for anything. And the government of Canada has fucked up their growing fucking contract with this company, Prairie Plant Co. They gave them a $10 million deal to grow, I can't remember how much weed it was, but they only sold 14%, and they stored the rest, the 86% of it, but they didn't do it correctly, and it all went moldy.
Oh, fuck.
And then they go and give them another $1 million deal at the end of the year. Like, that makes absolutely no fucking sense at all, and they're just fucking with people's, like, livelihoods now because there's so many people invested in the private sector of this going like legit, like how it is here.
Yeah.
And they're just throwing up roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And they just took anybody who applies for a license now automatically denied. They're not handing out any more licenses. I got mine. I lost my paperwork. I tried to get my paperwork sent back out to me. They wouldn't send my paperwork back out to me. But I found my license after all, and I just fucking got a whole bunch of copies printed up just in case I fucking lose another one. I don't want to have to fucking deal with the government of Canada anymore. It's
That's
fucking bullshit.
That's too bad. I didn't know that was happening.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really chill week.
BC is really chill. You don't have to worry about it. And Toronto is really chill. But Edmonton, I'm not too sure. Yeah, you might have, like, some of the BC vibe in there. But if you're going out east to, like, Nova Scotia or PEI or any of those provinces, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, I had a buddy who went from Ontario, where I was living, where he grew up with me. He went to jail. He got out, moved to Newfoundland, which is on the East Coast. Got sick of living there with his parents, moved to BC, which is on the West Coast, stayed there for a couple of years, ended up getting his shit, going to jail there. Then they shipped him back to Newfoundland to go live with his parents again. Then he goes and robs a pharmacy and hits a lady with a fucking pickup truck on his way out, and they charge him with assault with a deadly weapon. And he fucking spends the next 4 years in prison in Newfoundland. And he just got out. What's up, Sean? How are you?
Hey, Sean. Welcome back.
And it's really fucking ridiculous. And he explained it to me, like, you can probably get, like, a pound of good weed for, like, $2,000 in, like, Toronto or BC, because we got pretty good growers and shit. But as soon as if you were to take that 1 pound and bring it down to New York City, just like from BC or Toronto, it's an automatic $6,000. So people, what they end up doing is they fucking take 6-7 pounds, fucking transport that across the fucking border, and they trade it for a kilo of coke and bring the kilo of coke back to Canada. That's the only way Canada gets their fucking coke, unless it's smuggled in other ways. But that's the main fucking way that everything gets funneled into the country. And they're not going to stop it. It's impossible to stop it, because they're coming up with better and better fucking ways, like putting it in liquids and fucking soaking a carpet in it and shit.
Yeah, there's never going to be an end of drugs.
No.
You need to understand that.
Well,
just the way it is.
The fucked up thing is the whole Afghanistan, how the poppy production was down to like 2% when the Afghan war started with the Taliban in power, and now that the U.S. is fucking controlling that place, it's 95% of the world's heroin comes from Afghanistan.
Oh, so I must have smoked Afghanistan heroin one time. That's cool.
So, being at the Comedy Store, you've probably seen some fucked up shit, crazy people.
I've seen it all.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean,
Let's hear some crazy shit.
Oh, God. I mean, I can't even, just, like, a bunch of, I don't know, this is weird people. My memory is terrible, so I'm sorry. I mean, mind you, when I was first starting out there, I was pretty intoxicated, so. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, you never know. There's some nights where it's, like, dark and, like, fucked up, and then there's nights where it's so magical and amazing. Like,
yeah. Last night was
A mixture
of the two.
Yeah, then it's a lot of mixture. It's like you can feel like it. And the energy of the Comedy Store is like, it used to be like another like place like Ciro's or something.
Yeah, and it
and
was
so
run by the mom.
It's haunted. I mean, it's like definitely some negative weird energy there. I've like one.
Your phone doesn't work there either, I found.
Really?
Yeah, you get zero fucking reception.
Well, like, I don't know, but then it's like also what's been like created there, like the comics on stage who bring so much like joy to people, and that light that they're spreading is like balances it out, I think, because like there's definitely some shady shit going on, like that basement area, like just even like looking down there. And then I've had like doors open and close on me in like random places. Like
fuck.
I was up in this like thing upstairs doing something, and this fucking little door like opened up, and it was like, oh hey, like sorry to bother you, but I mean, so that's like some crazy shit I've seen there. But I mean, I just love like late night with like dawn and stuff, like never knowing like what the fuck is gonna happen on stage, or like, you know, there's definitely been some pretty epic nights late night at the Comedy Store.
Oh,
I'm like,
yes.
Sitting there like, oh my god, this is why I do this. Like, this is why I'm here, because of these moments that are so like just unreal.
Oh yeah. And
like even last week, like after like everything was done, like Don was up on stage with Schizo, and there's this comedian Jeremiah, and like his new thing is like mimicking Schizo. So like Schizo will say something and then Jeremiah will like repeat it, and, or like something, or Jeremiah, and it's so funny, and like I was just dying. Like I was like, this is not happening, but it is, and I'm so happy with my life. Like I just love, it's just so great, because comedy can be really, really confusing and scary and lonely and whatever. It's like, you know, it takes a lot out of you, and it's like a really hard thing to do, but like we also are so lucky because we have like this weird little comedy family, and we're there for each other in our own ways.
That's what I realized last night. Being there last night, there was something that happened, I don't want to get into it, and one of the guys was pissed off at another guy, and you could see the only reason why he was why the one guy was angry was because the other guy cared, and it spiraled, and then somebody was fueling the flames. Like, it seems like that's a regular fucking thing, that if you have some drama that's actually happening, there's gonna be a comic that fucking stirs the pot.
Yeah.
It's just, it's, that's what they do. And by the end of it, they were both screaming at each other. One's in the parking lot, one's at the belly room stairs, and they're just hollering at each other at the back of the store after hours. And the fucking door for the back is closed, so it's pitch fucking black. They just turned off the light on the stairs, and they stop, ending up, they squash everything, everything's fine at the end, and we go to leave. And this fucking crazy dude comes back that was there earlier with an arrogant jacket. It was fucking bizarre. It was just,
yeah.
It was hilarious to see. It was fun to be a part of, but I could see where the family comes in, because one guy had been there for 3 years, the other guy's kind of newer,
yeah.
And the other guy was looking out for him. And the younger guy didn't see it like that. He looked at it in a different way, and the older guy was just like, no, this is what I was doing, and the younger guy's like, okay, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah.
Like, the entire thing was him just fucking with this guy's emotions, and it was so fucking evil, but funny at the same fucking time. Oh shit. Winding down, is there anything you wanted to touch on before we get out of here?
I think I like said my whole life story. No, I mean, this is fun.
Yeah,
this
is a short little podcast,
yeah.
I know, but just trying to get everything in and out of the way so that the viewers at home can enjoy this. When I get back to Toronto, it'll all be uploaded and tagged. I'll throw your Twitter name in there and everything. So at Katie Manzella. If you can't spell Manzella, you're fucking retarded.
Yeah.
It's exactly how it sounds.
Manzella.
Exactly. Exactly. And you guys all know me, Jordan_RealTalk. Hit me up if your guest wants to do the show. DM me or something, and we'll set that up. Later on this week, I'm going to have Sandy Danto, Tony Hinchcliffe, and possibly another guest. I'm not totally sure who. And Jerron, who is a doorman at the Comedy Store, was last week, and hope you guys enjoyed that interview. All right, see you later. Peace.
Bye. That was fun.
Of white people had traits of serial killers. I see white people kissing all they dogs on the mouth, and I see those white people saying you really gotta cut this shit out, man. Y'all fucking
white people crazy, white people crazy, white people crazy, all white people crazy, white people they crazy, white people they crazy, white people they crazy, white people they crazy, white people crazy, all white people crazy, white people crazy.
They crazy. Ron Burgundy, he crazy. The Dynasty, they crazy. Have Obama, he crazy. Okay, now straight jackets, trailer parks, country music, golf cars, duck hunting, guitars, watching hockey, NASCAR. Ask any white person they know about any white person they know. And they'll admit that they friend, admit that they know the crazy for sure. Oh, and Jerry Springer was all white, and oh man, he crazy. Adoption exists, yeah, white people try to kill they babies. Okay, white people, they crazy, since they was baby gravy. I remember being in that womb like, let me out, I'm going crazy.
White people crazy.
Can I get serious with you real quick? $1. iTunes. Some of your white ass money. $1. I do it for you like this. Here it go. Hold me up with a dollar. Hold me up with a dollar. One fucking dollar. Man, just one fucking dollar.